Well, Christmas is now over officially. I mean, at least in my house, we put away our stuff the other day inside the house. My wife's like, hey, we're going to put away the Christmas stuff. I'm like, let's do it. That we can get back to the beach. That's what counts. Come on. I mean, Friday was phenomenal. And Saturday, yesterday was good too. But it's come and gone. And at this point, you're either elated with the gifts you receive. Then a notch down is you're okay, you're satisfied. A notch down is you're disappointed. And then notch down here is it's like you're really like despaired because now the Visa bill shows up. Or you know it's coming because it sure did cost a lot like Christmas just a little bit ago. The reality is, what do we do now? The new year has started. Let me remind you something that John Piper wrote some time back. I'm going to read some of it, and then the rest of it will be on the screen in just a moment. But he writes the following. God's revealed will for you is that when you get up in the morning, you don't drift aimlessly through the day, letting mere circumstances alone dictate what you do. But did you aim at something, that you focus on a certain kind of purpose? I'm talking about children here and teenagers and adults, single, married, widowed, moms, and every trade. Aimlessness is akin to lifelessness. Dead leaves in the backyard may move around more than anything else, more than the dog, more than the children. The wind blows this way, they go this way. The wind blows that way, they go that way. They tumble, they bounce, they skip, they press against the fence, but they have no aim whatsoever. They're full of motion and empty of life. And he writes the following, that's on the screen. God did not create humans in His image to be aimless, like lifeless leaves blown around in the backyard of life. He created us to be purposeful, to have a focus and a name for all our days. What is yours today? And he's right. No matter how many times I read it, I read this just about every first of the year, it comes around. And I read it, and then you ask yourself, what is my aim this day? What is my aim this year? The new year's upon us, and you know, most of us have done already the resolutions. Some of us are waiting till Monday because it really doesn't count until Monday kicks in. So that's when the diet will hit and the lifestyle changes will be official. For today, it's still the weekend. All right. So I get to go. I get to wake up early. I get to the gym tomorrow. I start my whatever vegetarian, whatever, you know, roughage diet tomorrow. Okay. Today, it's still today. Many of us are making changes. We're making resolutions. We're making lifestyle choices so we can have a healthier life. The question you and I need to ponder is, what resolutions, what goals, what desires, what lifestyle changes are we willing to make our life holier, not just healthier? We want you to have a healthy life. We want you to worry about the body that God has granted you, that gave you as a gift so you can manage it. And some of us manage it well, others manage it with chips and salsa. Okay? And that's all right. But what am I making? What decisions am I making in life now? So this year, I will increase in holiness. If you haven't made any changes, the cliche still stands. If you fail to plan, what? Yeah, you automatically plan to fail. If you set no goals, you'll hit them each and every time. So you and I must be busy about just checking out what resolution, what goals, what would the Lord have for me, okay, in reference to living a not only healthier life, but a holier life. So I asked this question a few years back, and I asked you the same one this year. It's on the screen. What do you think I would want your resolution to be? So if I spent the 31st with you, and we got to that midnight, which I didn't. My wife and I, we're old. We're out like a 10, I think. Because we got the empty nest, and we looked at each other, and we went, I don't even think I said Happy New Year. I just fell asleep. Just like, woke up, and then I said Happy New Year. But let's say I'm at your house on the 31st, and before you do your thing, and you welcome in the new year, or while you were doing your thing, and welcoming in the new year, I come up, and I come up to you, and I go, hey, Johnny, not this Johnny, that Johnny. Johnny, what do you think I want for your resolution to be for the new year? You don't have to tell me. But what do you think if I came over and I said, hey, Jimbo, what do you think, Jim? What do you think my resolution is? Robbie, what do you think? I could solicit a bunch of answers, and there would be a variety of answers. But I'll give you the one I gave you then, because it's my answer and my prayer for you each and every year. On the screen there behind me, it's that you and I would dedicate ourselves to knowing God better. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him. There's a lot of knowing about. Bodhi Bakum is famously said, you know, sadly many churches and even we're producing a generation of Christians that love a Jesus they barely know. And that could be fatal. Just think about any relationship here. If you're married, can you imagine spending year after year and getting 30 years into this and you look and you go, she's a stranger, he's a stranger. If you have kids and they're grown up, they're about to leave the nest, and once they're leaving, you look at them, they go, who are they? Well, you grew old together, but you didn't know anything about them. So we have to take stock of our lives and do, how well do I know God, and how well do I want to get to know Him this coming year? See, the reality is, to know God and enjoy Him forever is why you and I exist. To know Him and enjoy Him. In fact, the eternal life that Jesus gives the repentant sinner is about knowledge of God. In the Bible, you find it in John 17:3. It'll be on the screen. And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. You and I can glory about a lot of things. We can be proud about a lot of things. We can be very accomplished. But God looks at it and says, how well do you know Me? And to that extent, you can boast. Listen. Jeremiah chapter 9. On the screen there. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows Me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. See, this, there is a knowing God that makes a difference. In fact, one of the books I commend to you in this, if you want to read something that's going to, besides the Word of God, that's going to feed your soul, it's a classic by J.I. Packer. It's called Knowing God. Okay? I've already labeled mine, so if you borrow it, I know it's coming back. Okay, but in his book, Knowing God, the author, J.I. Packer, writes the following. Look at it on the screen there. What makes life worthwhile is having a big enough objective, something which catches our imagination, lays hold of our allegiance, and this is the Christian, and the Christian has in a way that no other person has. For what higher, more exalted, and more compelling goal can there be than to know God? See, a little knowledge of God is worth a lot more than knowledge about God. You and I must not be about knowing about Him. We must be in pursuit of knowing Him. And to that end, I want to remind you about a strategy that I use, that I can share with you. I found it a few years back, and I just want to put it in, just lay it before you again. And as we start this new year of Sundays, hopefully you can grow in your walk with the Lord through a closer walk with God. And we're going to use the word closer as an acrostic. And with that, we're going to give you the strategy on what you can use. You know, the how-to. Pastor, how can I grow in my relationship with the Lord? What do you use? What should I consider? Well, here's six things. Number one, letter C, communicate. Excuse me. Which is all about praying. Okay, praying is talking to God. Right? He starts the conversation the day He spoke into your life and granted you eternal life. He started a conversation. You know, we don't pray as peers. We don't pray because we started the conversation. The Lord God started a conversation. He looked upon our lives. He rescued us and He spoke life into our lives. And now all we get to enjoy now is a conversation right back and forth with Him. I normally don't start with prayer, but the acrostic, so be it, it governs. All right? Normally I go with word and then prayer. God speaks and I respond. But to that end, still, prayer. Someone has said the following. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can never do more than pray until you have prayed. And that's just not just a tongue twister. I know I saw some, Diana, did I confuse you? You have that look. She's like, even blurred, I can't see this. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do, never do more than pray until you've prayed. In other words, You need to start off the day with a conversation with the Lord. You can do a lot of things, but until you have not conversed with Him, until you have not spent time to hear from Him, listen, you and I and God define productivity and fruitfulness of different ways. Okay? We are all already conditioned for results. Okay? A fruitful day, a successful day is I accomplished 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. God may just be looking at you and say, you know what's a fruitful day, my child? We got to talk. And again, if you have relationships in your life that are worth their weight in gold, you know that any relationship, what they want, just talk to me. You don't have to stay busy. My wife tells me, you don't have to buy me a Lexus, though she's really angling for that. Okay? You don't have to. But a walk on the boardwalk in Hollywood Beach cost us just a few dollars of parking. And that'll be okay. I mean, you can take me to Naples, Florida, not Naples, Italy. See, but for a man, when you're wired with, you know, as a provider and as a protector, you want Naples, Italy. But so you lose sight of what's big. And my wife and I, we will look at days and we'll look at what it means to love one another in a different way. And God says, listen, I want you. I mean, busyness does not equal godliness. So prayer, you can do a lot of things in life, but start it off. Make sure you include a time with the Lord. See, prayer was a vital part of the early church. If you and I are going to follow the principles and pattern that we find in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, okay, especially in the book of Acts, where you have the early church was about praying. These brothers and sisters modeled prayer, not just individually. We tend to beat our chest and toot our horns. Oh, I pray all the time. It wasn't the prayer, individual prayer, that saturated the early church. It was corporate prayer that saturated the early church. That was the difference. I mean, just write this in your mind or in your notes, and write it in your neighbor's Bible. All right? Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 12, Acts chapter 14. After every major event that's recorded there, the church is praying. In Acts chapter 4, John and Peter heal someone, and they get harassed by the religious leaders. And when they report all that, they start a prayer service. And at the end of Acts chapter 4, the place shook. In Acts chapter 12, Peter gets to jail. He gets miraculously delivered. He gets out because an angel walks up, opens the door, walks right by everything. He gets outside. He realizes it's not a dream anymore. He's set free. Where does he go? To his mama's house? No, he went to the prayer house. He went to the church because he knew the house where the church was meeting and they were praying. In Acts chapter 14, as they travel, the Apostle Paul says that as they left, they established elders, and after praying, they left. Prayer saturated the early church. But if the prayer saturated the early church, it's because it saturated the early Christians. And you and I must realize that. You know, prayer is the most often talked about and least practiced spiritual discipline. We love to talk about it, but we don't practice it as much as we should. And the reality is that we forget to our own peril that what we are on our knees before Almighty God in secret, that we are and no more. Okay? God knows the real you. God knows the real me. I could put on a really nice show right now here on this Sunday morning. And I can come up with a message and then wow you. And you walk out and you go, wow, this dude, I didn't think a Cuban can be that smart. And you walk out and you go, wow. But that's not, you know what's the reality? You know who Luis Acosta is? When he's by himself in prayer before Almighty God, that he is and no more. You think you're all that in a bag of chips? You know what you are, child of God? Who you are before Almighty God in secret, in prayer, that you are and no more. We all can put up a show here. But tomorrow morning, later on today, God knows who we are. And prayer reminds us. And prayer is not learned in a classroom. It flows from our relationship with Christ. There's only one way to cultivate an intimate prayer life. Pray. Pray. Now, if you need any help with that, you see me or see one of the church leaders and we'll help you and we'll share with you our strategies and what to do. Listen, I've taken up ever since August when I left the hospital because of the COVID. I do prayer walking, Okay? That's the best way. You know why? Because I start praying and my head meets the desk. You know what that means? Bam! I fall asleep. So since I know that, I can either do one of two things. Give up. That's like saying, it's hard to breathe, so I'll breathe no more. Or find some way to keep my intellect engaged. So just about every morning, somebody beeped at me the other day. Hopefully they're saying, hello, pastor, not pastor, you know. They beeped, and I'm like, because I walked through this building, about a mile or so, okay. And I just walk and I pray a while. I read, I read Psalms, 5 Psalms a day. That's just my practice ever since I got out. And I walk around this building. It'll be about a mile worth. And I pray. You can do it. The problem is not if I can, is will you, is your desires. Your desire. Because no one has to push you to do that which you enjoy. Okay? No one has to push you. And even when it becomes less than joyous, you do it because you know it's beneficial. And you do this not to impress God. You do this because He loves you, you love Him, He is yours, and you are His. That's why we're after this. Okay? It's strengthened, in community. That's why you and I need to be about getting together. These Bible study groups, whenever they are, whenever they gather, and there's an opportunity to pray, you come. I learned because I listened. I listened. And now I knew how people prayed. And I could tell the difference between the person that's just trying to impress God with some language or the person that has a contrite spirit and says, here I am. Big difference. The one you want to learn from is the one that's humble. The one that doesn't toot the horn. The one that doesn't tell you how often or how long. The one that just does it and says, I'm here, Dad. Let's talk again. So communicate. Give priority this year to praying, to talking, conversing with the Lord. And again, if you need help there, see us after church service and contact us, and we'll be more than happy to do that. So you got the C, communicate. The second letter is learn. Learn. Bible study. Someone said many years ago, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. And you're right. That person's right. You and I cannot grow in our walk with the Lord without growing in our knowledge of Him through the Scriptures. Okay? There's no shortcut. There's no shortcut. The reality is, you and I cannot fully know God apart from the Scriptures. We cannot grow in this relationship. Our ultimate goal in learning and in Bible study is not a fat head. It's not just information. If you and I have begun a Bible reading plan, and the goal is to put a check mark in each box of the day, week after week, month after month, so we can complete the year, you're not going to grow in grace and knowledge. All you're going to do is just going to read the Bible. But how often is the Bible reading you? How often are you just, it's an invitation to know the Lord, so you want to read so you can get to know what's going on, who He is, how He acts, what are His ways. See, that's why we read, because we want to get to know. The goal of study is God, not just information. Is getting to know a God who has gone out of His way to reveal Himself to you and to me. Now, I don't know if you've chosen a Bible reading plan. I don't know what you're doing. But I want to introduce you a couple of guys that are doing something, and we've talked to you about it. Bible reading groups. Okay, these are guys that are started, and they have some folks are with them already, some are not. But I want you to hear from them, so you can see what they're doing. And by hearing them, it's an invitation to join them. All right. So we've got 4 guys coming up. All right. I'll be the last guy because I'm just a control freak. All right. So the reality is, you know, one of them could not be with us. Eddie is leading a group already, but he's not feeling well. He actually tested positive for the COVID, so he's at home. Hopefully he's watching us online. But if you know Eddie, please reach out to him. If not, you'll get a text message later today, maybe first thing tomorrow, with names and numbers of the guys that are going to speak just for a moment, and that way you can contact them directly. So let's start it off. Gary, I'm going to ask you to come, and then it's going to be followed by DJ, and then I'll represent Eddie, and then I'll represent myself. Okay? So, I'm going to need a microphone, and I don't know how best to do that right now. I'm trying to find there it is. Going off camera. All right, so just a couple of minutes there for everybody. So here you go, bud. So you can talk.
You're not going to hold it for me?
If you want me to, I'll even do this.
Don't get too close. Your shirt's a lot nicer than mine.
Yep.
All right. I'm getting there, guy.
We started from the oldest, and we're going to the youngest type of stuff. You know what I mean?
For those that know anything about me, there's a few of you that have followed through last year as we went through the Bible. We went through it chronologically. This year, there's like Pastor said, there's a few of us that will be going through different plans, and not that one is better than the other, okay? But it's a start, and as Pastor alluded to earlier, if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. So if you don't plan on being in the Word every day, you know that you're going to fail, okay? And you'll see that. And yes, we're a couple days into it, but you can start at any point. So after service, I know that DJ and myself will be back there with a sheet so you can sign up. But I want to share what I plan on doing this year. There's a man named Charles Stanley, pastor up outside of Atlanta. I've followed him for many, many years. Actually, it was the first evangelism conference that I ever went to a little over 30 years ago, and he was a speaker. One of the things that he does is on a day, he gives a daily devotion, and I want to share a little bit what that devotion is like today, and that it's not so impacting that it's going to take you a long time to read through that devotion and a few scriptures, but then he also allows you to go through the Bible throughout the year, and at the end of the year, you'll have read through the Bible. And there's about three chapters every day. So I just want to share with you the devotion today. This is, take a moment to imagine a doorway. Perhaps you envision the entrance to a cozy cabin, or maybe you picture a massive entryway fit for a palace. Regardless of how the image looks in your mind's eye, what it symbolizes is an opportunity. God offers each of us life worth living, though sometimes that means trusting Him and stepping into the unknown. When we encounter such a door, we don't have to be afraid, but can walk through it with confidence, knowing that if our Heavenly Father is involved, He has a plan for us once we're on the other side. What's more, He Himself goes before us to prepare the way. This year, be on the lookout for the doors of opportunity God puts before you. And remember very well that it may very well be not where you expect. He has a way of using unlikely situations, people. So be listening for Him to direct you. And commit to living with your heart and spiritual eyes wide open. If we picture a door and to look at that and to see whatever door you picture, I want to share just one verse out of Scripture. And if there's a lot of places in Scripture that mention different doors. Jesus spoke about many, the New Testament. And in Revelation, there's a verse that many people use as an evangelistic verse. And, you know, that's okay, but it's not meant that because it's being spoken to, okay, believers. It is not to the unbeliever, but to the believer. And it comes in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Are we ready to eat the meal that Jesus has prepared for us each day? And sometimes that meal is going to taste like the filet with a baked potato. And other days it's going to taste like liver and onions. You know what? But at the end of the day, okay, we know that it was our Lord and Savior, okay, that prepared that meal and has given it to us to eat and to walk through that day. We need to start our day in God's Word and to be there and allow Him to guide us and to see those doors that He's opened. So after service, myself and DJ will be back here. If you're looking for my either for a way through the Bible, through myself, DJ, the pastor, or Eddie, see us so we can get your name and email address and things like that, and we'll reach out to you. Don't be afraid. If you miss a day, if you miss a week, okay, you can start again. Okay, so don't let that be something that deters you from being in the Word and for each day. You're going to miss days. Okay, I've been reading through the Bible for many years, and there's days I miss. Okay, One thing I know is still standing here. God didn't send me to hell because I missed a day. You're up, kid.
Go get him, kid.
You didn't tell me two things. One, to dress like a handsome lemon, or two, to prepare a sermon. I didn't prepare a sermon like Gary. So we started a Bible study reading group already. We're going through chronologically through the New Testament, starting out. And then once we wrap that up as a group, whoever's going to be with us, we'll decide what we want to jump through next, right? So there's different things we want to jump through. So far, besides my wife and my kids, Martha and Scott, we began already. So if you want to join, again, we'll be back there. I feel like I'm like running for vice president or something here. but really, the only thing I want to add is the same thing, right? We read together. We study together. The best way to do it is you read some commentary on it. And then if you're not somebody who likes to talk back, you just say, you know, like I tell my kids, they're not going to write this whole thing back. Just write the verse that stood out to you. That's it, right? But it's just showing that we're holding each other accountable. So up to you, handsome lemon.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy. I know he insulted me along the way, but I just don't remember. Because I saw you guys smiling and laughing. I said, yeah, that looks like they're laughing at me. Seen that laughter before. For Eddie, he sent me an email, and basically what they're doing is they're doing he's leading through the ESV Bible reading plan, and it's strictly just chronological. Day two, I forget what part of it, and then he's also going to be supplementing the reading with some videos and some related themes. And if you're part of the group that he led last week, I think some of you are sticking with him. If you want to join him, again, these are just different ways different people are reading. Do you have to join one of the groups? No. But there's a value to learning in community, just like there's a value in praying in community. So that's what we want to put before you. So you have Gary with the devotional from Charles Stanley. At one time, Charles Stanley could have been, if we had popes, he could have been the Pope of the Southern Baptist Convention. But we don't have popes. All right, so you have him. You have DJ Focus. That he's more of a laser-focused New Testament for right now. And you have Eddie, who's doing the year, reading the Bible in a year. And he's using a specific Bible reading plan, and he's going to supplement that. For myself, my wife and I started yesterday what's called Bible Study Together, and it comes in different formats. It's a two-year Bible reading plan, so I'm going to go slow and steady. And it's chronological, and it does some cross-referencing along the way. So yesterday we read Genesis. Today we'll read some Proverbs. And it comes in, you know, in print. I'm trying to use this fancy. I might as well. I paid enough for this phone. There's an app that you can use. It comes in print form. I have a PDF. If you want to do that, I can send it all to you. And it's basically four parts to it. You pursue in that you look at God's word, you read it. Then there's a pondering piece, which the author asks some questions to get you thinking about what you just read. Then there's a prayer time that you can have in light of what you just read. And then there's a practice, and there's a daily challenge about it. So that's what my wife and I started yesterday. And Lord willing, with his help, and by his grace, we'll continue for the remainder of this year and into next year. You have a Bible in a year, you have daily devotionals, you have the New Testament in just a few months, okay? And then you have me reading the Bible in two years, okay? You have there just a sampling of what can be done. The reality of what we want for you is that for you to be involved in reading God's Word. You know, if you would just want to do it on your own, we have the Pines Baptist Church Bible Reading Plan. It's on our website. It's in print form. We can get it to you electronically if you wanted. And that's it's also a two-year reading plan. It's a different one than I'm doing. I've done that one. I've chosen just to read. By doing different things, you see Scripture differently. You get to develop some of the themes of Scripture. So all this to say, child of God, there really isn't a reason for you and me not to read through the Scriptures, okay? You and I tend to forget that which we take for granted, the printed page, it cost people their lives to get it to you and me. Read up on the history of the Bible, of the printed Bible. There are men who lost their lives because they printed God's Word in the common language. What you and I take for granted, somebody died to give us. All right? So you have it there. You have there, you know, the learning piece. And we want you to learn. We want you to recognize the value of God's word and to be about it. All right? So we have the communicate, we have the learn. The letter O represents obedience or obey. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Listen, again, the duty here, the delight of reading God's word is to discover God's will. And then at that point, my friends, at that point, child of God, you and I, when God reveals a truth from the scriptures, you and I we're at a juncture. Either we adjust our lives toward righteousness or we continue to make, you know, excuses toward sin. It always boils down to that. When the Lord confronts me with a reality, an attitude, a sin, a wish, a desire, hey, I see it in the scriptures. This is how I want you to behave in this area of life with this person or in this way. I have now the Louis Acosta has the decision to make. Will I adjust toward holiness or will I make excuses toward sin? I don't know if that easy for you, but that's how it boils down to me. I can make excuses all I want, or I can make adjustments. So when it comes to obedience, that's the bottom line. See, there's a story told by a philosopher many years ago about Duck Church. You ever heard of the Duck Church? Not Duck Dynasty Church. No. Duck Church. There's a group of ducks that went to Duck Church, and they got there, and the duck preacher started eloquently saying, listen, God has given us an ability to fly. With these wings, said the duck preacher, there's nowhere you cannot go. There's no God-given task you cannot accomplish. With these wings, you can soar into the presence of God. Shouts of amen quacked throughout the duck congregation. At the conclusion of the service, the ducks left, commenting on what a wonderful message they had heard as they waddled back home. Now, you may have missed the point. Because that's what happens in church services, Benny. We hear a lot, but because we fail to apply, we waddle back home. What does it matter for me to tell you can fly and you have these great wings and you can fly and you do this if after the service you fail to apply the truth and you go back home? That's what happens when you and I read with no intention to obey. We listen to a lot of good stuff, but we take it like we take advice. If I like it, I do it. If I don't, I don't. God doesn't give advice. God speaks. And He says, you and I need to fall under that. So don't waddle anymore. Obey. 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 The Bible calls us to that. In your Bible, look up 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, being a disciple, a follower of Christ, obedience is built into that relationship. 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. 1 John chapter 2, and it reads, and by this we know that we have come to know Him. We know that we belong to Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Verse 6, whoever says he abides in Him ought to live in the same way in which he walked or in which he lived. You and I as children of God are either the best or worst advertisement for Christianity. Okay? We are the PR department. We are the PR department. Child of God, I don't know if that should scare you or excite you. I don't know. It does both to me. It scares me and it excites me. Because I'm the PR. You know, nobody reads in my neighborhood. Nobody. I'm not sure who reads Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I know people are looking at Lewis. They're reading me. How I live, the decisions I make, how I love my wife, how I parent my children, how I use my resources, how I behave, and how I behave with neighbors. They may not be reading the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the Gospel, the good news, according to Lewis, that they read each and every day. So, child of God, you're being read. What story are you telling? See, that's the deal. You and I should be about obedience. Because the word know in that verse there, okay, it's on the screen there. This word is not speaking of mental knowledge. That is an awareness of facts or information. It means to have a personal experiential knowledge of something through close interaction. You can know about marriage, or you can know marriage. Right? If you've been married any longer than the honeymoon, okay, you know marriage. Up to the honeymoon is about marriage. It's about people who know what child rearing is about, and then those are people who have children. One thing is to read the books. One thing is to raise the children. Yeah, well. So the reality is, this is where you and I are there. You and I are because of the firsthand personal encounter. Again, I'm not saying that the books are bad. I want you reading. I want you reading the classics. I want you reading good books. I want you to feed your soul. For remember, it's not just knowledge. It's this knowing. It's this interaction of getting to know the experiential knowledge of something. Most Christians don't need another Bible study to grow in the relationship with the Lord. Most Christians, me included, just need to live up what we know. Okay? You know, Samuel Langhorne Clemens, you know him? Maybe you know his pen name, Mark Twain. He said the following on the screen. It's not the things in the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the things in the Bible that I do understand that bother me. He's right. Yeah. If you can't say amen, you might as well say ouch. Excuse me. He's right. Okay? It's not the things in the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. Ignorance is bliss to a certain degree. Right? But it's the things that I do understand in the Bible. Now, that bothers me. You know why? Because now I'm responsible to the one who wrote it. Now I'm responsible. Yeah, now I'm responsible. Until I didn't know 2 plus 2 was 4. It was like, hey, no problem. But once the math teacher told me 2 plus 2, now she can quiz me on it. Same thing, child of God. You've been walking with the Lord. He can quiz you. If you know that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever, you may just be encountering some difficult days today. So He can show you that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Letter D, because we got to finish this. Letter S. I'm looking at D because that's in my sermon notes. S, store, scripture memorization. This is where you and I, we sort of go off road. We're like, nah, I'm too old. I can't memorize. But you put me a little song there on Y100. I'm singing it, baby. Power, whatever numbers are nowadays, because it used to be Power 96. Is it still Power 96? No? What's the hip-hop there, Josh? What's the cool station? You there, buddy? Come on, you tell me. Johnny, what's the cool station? Yeah, you do, bro. You just don't want to tell me in front of Diane. Look, Diane, I even went like that to you. She knows, man. What's the one roaring over there in the barbershop? 101.5. 101.5, that's like if you're 60. I mean, come on. Like, yeah. No, don't worry. It's me, easy listening. It's like watching the Hallmark Channel. Like, I need some Lifetime, right? What's the Lifetime Movie Network? Okay, you know what's their month resolution? Deadly resolutions. You see that? See, I need some edge to the movies, bro. I need some edge. All right. Well, listen. Whatever it is, even if it's country music, I reckon. All right. Yeah, country music. All right. We know it. We can learn. The Bible says in Psalm 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's one of the things I'm giving greater in emphasis. You would think, hey, the pastor, he must know the Bible, you know, inside out. I may know the Bible inside, but I don't know all the addresses like I should. I used to, but I've played lazy. Like, most of us don't even know our own phone numbers. Yeah? Well, hey, what's your number? Directory, me. I used to know, before the smartphones, I used to know people's numbers like this. The smarter the phone, the dumber the user. I mean, I don't know what's the deal. It's like, you know, so-and-so, you know, if it's Siri or Alexa, call so-and-so. You know, it's like, oh, dialing. You know, the reality is, can you imagine waking up tomorrow to a world without written words? See, we're so dependent on the written word. In the first century, it was like that. You had to commit stuff to memory. So why won't you? Or why don't you? See, if we want the word of Christ to dwell in us richly, we must be committed to at least attempting it. I'm attempting it. Psalm 103:1-5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. That's as much as I have so far. This is my first just the verses for the first week. Now, I know what his benefits are, verses 3, 4, and 5. He forgives, he heals, he redeems, he crowns, he satisfies. I'm the preacher in heart, so I got to give it like that. So I know he forgives my iniquities. I know he heals my diseases. I know he redeems my life from the pit. I know he crowns me with his steadfast love. And I know he satisfies me with good, so my strength is renewed like youth and like an eagle. Now, it doesn't say it all that way, but I'm getting there. If I can do it, you can do it. I don't have any special unction in that area from the Lord, so I can memorize. You memorize it. I walk around and I start saying it to myself. When I pray or walk, what do you think I'm doing? Part of doing is reciting God's word, feeding my soul. So I may have to pray or walk for a little longer. That's okay. At the end of my days, I won't regret it. I won't regret it. Okay? I've learned through 2020 and 2021 how much Louis Acosta can binge on Netflix. And on that day, on the day I face Christ, social media and streaming services will condemn me before a holy God. That's just me. I won't be able to say I couldn't spend time with you, Lord, when I've watched 14 seasons of. Yeah, if you can't say amen, you might as well say ouch. Can you imagine the Lord saying, Mona Lisa, why didn't you spend more time with me? Because I was busy binging on Prime Video. See, on that day, social media and streaming services will remind me how badly I used the time that God gave me. I'm not saying don't binge. I'm still binging. I'm not that picture-perfect guy, okay? I didn't get rid of my TV yet, all right? But I'm binging less because I realized that I'm giving up on God's word. Because I only have so much time in life. I only have so much time. And it's not, I have to create the time. I don't find time for anything. You don't find time, you create time. I create time to date my wife. I create time to love my Lord. I create time to love you. I don't find time. Time is not to be found. Time is created by allocating. I won't do this so I can do this. That's how it works, at least for me. A lady in a small town had a manicured, picturesque garden in the front of her house. Every day, as neighbors drove and strolled by, the neighbors were like, oh my gosh, this is great. One day, a passerby commented, you must have a green thumb. She said, no, without hesitation, have a purple thumb and two bruised knees. You know what that meant? It works. It takes work to have this manicured lawn. And it takes work to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. Grace-driven effort. Grace-driven effort. Letter E, got to finish this up. Evangelizer, sharing your faith. As God gives you opportunity, tell Him the best story you have to say. Tell Him the best news your life is about. How the Lord Jesus has made that big of a difference. He changed your destiny. He changed your destiny. As the Lord provides you opportunity, share God's story. You don't win anyone to Christ. All you're called to do is to share, to sow, okay, to sow that seed. Will you commit to knowing and making friends, getting to know people, so the Lord can have an opportunity so you can tell them about the best news you have, that though I die, I will yet live again. And lastly, R, renew, personal quiet time. That's been what you've heard today a little bit about. The point is simple. Select a day that works. Select a time that works. If you don't plan, you fail automatically. Set a time up. And it can't be, you know, when it's the busiest day's time of the day. It's either the beginning or the end. Somewhere you set aside where you can concentrate, where you read the Bible. And if the Bible speaks to you, or when the Bible speaks to you, you say, okay, let me stop here. I see this. Let me talk to God about it. No difference that I have to create time to speak with my wife. I must create time to spend time with the Lord. You have to do that. Now, Does it mean that my wife stops loving me if I forget to do that? No. But our relationship will be strained. And again, if you're here and you have relationships that are worth their weight in gold, you know when relationships are strained because of lack of communication. Works, if it works in the earthly, in the temporal, it works in the supernatural. So child of God, what are you going to do in light of all that we've said this morning? What can we take with us this morning? Well, listen, as usual, there's three groups of people here this morning. Number one, there's a group that needs to surrender and begin the journey of a lifetime. We've started a new year and you remain the same, obstinate, rebellious, saying in your life and with your actions, God will not rule in my life. Well, I'm here to tell you, you need to reconsider. Because there's a day coming where all the money in the world, all the smarts in the world, all whatever you have in the world will not be sufficient. No matter how good you are, the Bible says you must be perfect. And if unless you're perfect, and you're not, because I'm not, you're not, then you are in danger of experiencing the wrath of God in a conscious place of torment. And it's only right because you have said to God, no. So eventually he takes your temporal decision and he makes it an eternal one. So if you're here this morning, the best time to know you need a Savior is the minute you realize you're a sinner. The minute you know you realize you need a rescue is when you see yourself drowning. And my prayer to you, my friend, is that the Lord will help you feel that you're drowning. For then and only then will you cry out to God. There's a second group here, as usual, those who have begun but find themselves an idol or in a rut. Again, it happens in every relationship, right? Unless you stoke the fire, it tends to die out. The Christian life is not lived in neutral. The Christian life is lived proactively. I remember all the hard work that went into the garden up front, you know, as you enter, you know, all that stuff there. Do you see how many weeds already are there? You know why? Because no one's taking the time to pluck them. But do you understand that that happens to you in your life and my life too? Give your life no spiritual stimulus, and weeds will grow automatically. You don't need to do anything. In fact, do nothing and weeds will grow. Do nothing and you will automatically drift. The Christian life is the ebb and flow, the struggle of either drifting away or drawing near to God. Drifting away or drawing near to God. Drifting away and drawing near to God. It's a fight. So you fight. Maybe you're here today and it's a rut. This morning you can break that rut. And lastly, there are those who have been faithful in their walk with Christ. Rejoice, celebrate it, and consider taking someone else for the journey. Paul did. Paul looked at the church and said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if you're there, then what you need to ask yourself is, if someone else in this church was me, would this church be beneficial if more of me were here as I follow Christ? See, that's a tall order. But still, you know why? Because a lot of in the Christian life is not taught. It's caught. We need mentors. Yes, you need the good books. Knowing God, knowledge of the holy. I mean, these are three, the cross of Christ. You want to feed your soul? Go for it. All right? But you also need someone that you're looking at and you're modeling your life after and saying, yeah, I want to follow Christ like this person is following Christ. I want to follow Christ like this person is following Christ and leading his wife to follow Christ. I want to follow Christ like this person is following Christ and leading his wife and leading his children to follow Christ. Are they perfect? Of course not. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for models. And if you're a single lady, you're saying, I want to see it. I want to look at a woman and what does it mean to be godly in an age of godlessness? How do I remain pure when everything else is telling me be impure? If you're a young man, where do I turn so I can see men who are godly and not just cool? See, tall order, but it's doable by the grace of God. Amen? So where will you be this new year? Let's close our eyes and bow our heads for just a moment. Before we sing and, and draw this time to a close. Where are you this morning? Are you drawing closer to the Lord? And if not, why not? And if not, you can. You can. The Lord invites you this morning to change direction and to draw near. Father, do the work as only you can. And as we sing this next song, let us be reminded that no matter what we do and all we accomplish, we do it through Christ. We love you, we trust you. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen.